Thanks, you guys, for leading us so well. How many people went and saw Avengers: The Endgame this weekend? A few of us? Not very many. All right. Well, across the country this morning, preachers are standing up and saying, "What's your end game?" I'm not. Hey, Good Bones, we're a brand new series we're starting this morning. If this is your very first time here, we're really glad you're here. As we jump into this, it'd be good for us to define what do we mean when we say good bones, good bones. Well, it's a phrase that's often used to express like an opinion about a particular house or building. So if you bought a house or a building and the realtor's walked you through, he may have said or she may have said, "This house has really good bones." What they mean is that it has a solid foundation. It has a sound structure. Has good character. It has personality. And it's built with quality materials. So this series, what we're going to do with it is we're going to ask some questions. What if we applied these attributes to the home we're creating, to the business we're building, and the relationships we're investing in? If you have been tuned into the news recently, you may have seen that this place is going to be renovated. So the Goshen Theater is undergoing some major transformation, some major renovation. And I have heard repeatedly, this place has great bones, has great bones. And it does. So the question you might have is, what are they doing? What are they doing in this place? Well, the temptation is to go out front and fix the ugly facade, right? To peel that old rock that's been on the front of the building for a very long time. That's the temptation, is to go peel that off and put something really beautiful out front on the facade. The temptation is to come in and fix the ugly restrooms, right? That's a temptation we're succumbing to. We actually are going to get new restrooms. The temptation is to come in here and fix the seats, because some of them are broken. If you sat in a broken one this morning, you know what I'm talking about. You thought you were in one of those brand new reclining theater seats, except that if you sat in it, you're going to find yourself on the floor because it'll break. That's the temptation, is to take care of what we can see instead of the infrastructure. So instead of getting new seats, instead of getting a new facade, we're getting new restrooms. We're getting an elevator for the very first time in 100 years. This building's 100 years old. Never had an elevator. There's an elevator going to be built. HVAC, super sexy, like new air conditioning and heating, right? Nobody's going to see it, but everybody's going to feel it. It's what's the bones are only as good as the infrastructure. So a lot of what's getting fixed around here, a lot of what's getting renovated, isn't visible. It's the invisible. So what do we mean when we say good bones? When we say something has good bones, sometimes we say, "I know it's so ugly, but it has great bones." Like we have to apologize for the way it looks and lift up the fact that, but the structure is really good. It's got a good foundation. There's good flow from room to room. There's quality construction. It has personality. Are you paying attention to the quality of construction as you build? As you build your families? As you build your business? What about the foundation of what you're building? Is it cracked? Is it cracked and crumbling? Or is it solid and durable? See, good bones are essential to living the life we were created to live. I want to draw our attention to Luke chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 6. We're going to start reading in verse 46. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Both Matthew, the writer Matthew, and Luke both record this conversation that Jesus had with those that were following him. This is what he said. "So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me and listens to my teaching and then follows it. It's like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. And then when the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it was well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. And when the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins." I'm not exactly sure when this started, but we who watch any sort of TV have been inundated with AT&T's Just Okay is Not Okay. It's kind of a funny, humorous campaign. AT&T depicts a number of scenarios, situations where just okay is not okay. Like, you wouldn't want your surgeon to just be okay right before you go under the knife. Or a babysitter that's just okay with kids. You wouldn't want your first tattoo to look okay. And a mechanic that's okay with brakes? No, that's not good either. And don't even get me started on sushi. It's just like saying good enough is good enough. And the truth is, some things are just okay. It's okay to just be okay about some things. Some things are good enough, and we're fine with that. But none of those things I just talked about are. And neither is your life. But you know what? When we're left to our own devices, we are susceptible to adopting this half-baked approach to living our lives. Now, I know that some of you, from the moment of birth, have been on a trajectory straight up, and you have been on fire for every decade of your life, but that's not most of us. Most of us are fighting and scrapping and clawing to live the life that we were called to live. See, the human experience, it's beautiful and it's hard and it's filled with obstacles. And were it not so, you and I, we would not be the people that are following Jesus and that are as effective and accomplished as we are and we can be, were it not for those obstacles. See, good bones are not just okay. Good bones are not just good enough. Good bones, they hold us up in the struggle. They hold us up in the fight. They help us overcome obstacles. Now, we like to grumble and complain, don't we? Like, when we hit the obstacles, when we have suffering in our lives, we like to grumble and complain about that. But if we're not careful, we can stay there. And then it suddenly and slowly may take on a life of its own, and the casual remark or complaint about life tends to bleed over into all of life, including and especially affecting our interior life. So then in our weakened conditions, the storm comes, sweeps down into our house, and we collapse in despair and ruin. Our thought life, how we think, determines how we will actually live our lives. Proverbs 23:7, the writer says, "As a man thinks, as a man or woman thinks, so is he." And so if you're wondering, yeah, I do know. I do know that our surroundings, our culture, our familial environment, how we grew up, all impact our reasoned or unreasonable thinking. I also know there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. But it's time, you guys, that we stand up and that we declare that the way that seems right is opposed to the way that is right. See, house flippers, you guys that flip houses for a living, you know that if you don't make sure that the roof doesn't leak, if they don't make sure that the floor joists aren't actually resting on, no offense to Michigan, but that nasty Michigan basement, if you flip the house with a Michigan basement, you know exactly what I mean. If that floor joist isn't sitting on that sill, you're going to have a problem. If you don't make sure that the wiring and plumbing are in good condition, and if you only focus on making sure that the exterior of the house has great curb appeal and the interior has been staged to perfection, your career as a contractor will not be very long. So if we're focused on the visible and we disregard the invisible, we run the risk of becoming jaded to the voice of God and living lives without impact. See, I see people in their 70s and 80s all the time who have spent the entirety of their life hyper-focused on what you see on the outside. Everything's lined up and paraded with virtually no restraint or thought or effort given to obtaining a renewed mind. But here's what the Apostle Paul says. He says in Romans 12, 2, he says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." And so now, in the twilight of their years, there's a bitter edge to their words. Their minds are bent and restricted. They've given credence to every single thought in their mind, not discerning what is right, proper, and good. That mindset then forms words that bite and devour. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. In our social media culture, your lack of trust in who God is and who he says you are is way more obvious in public than ever at any point in history. Way more obvious and public than the elders who are in their 80s now. See, I believe God is imploring his people to show restraint. Filter every thought, every action through the informant that is in you, the Holy Spirit who resides in every believer. We've been given everything. Now we need to become aware of it and live and breathe out of the power that is in us. Now, we would all concur, we'd all agree that we don't drift into right living and we don't drift into right thinking. But that, in fact, happens because we decide, we choose. But the same can't be said for weak living. It can't be said about negative thinking. We do drift into pitiful thinking. Without realizing it, we choose. Only over a period of time to succumb to the pull of evil. And then we're surprised when life gets no better. See, it's because over time we've decided. See, we still decide, but we just take our time deciding. And then as we drift along, being pulled and pushed by every wind of the sand and every wind of opposition. Now, naturally speaking, we have more faith in the visible than we do in the invisible. Well, no kidding. I can see this. I can hold this. So naturally, I can believe that this is a book and it's a Bible. But true faith is having confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. The writer in Hebrews 11 says it like this in the Passion Translation. He says, "Now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for." Faith is our foundation. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. We have more faith in our pain than in our healing. We have more faith in the sympathy of our friends than in the resurrected power of Jesus. I mean, just take a look at your Facebook account for a moment. Spend some time and read your words. Listen to your speech. Are you speaking life and love? Are you speaking death and destruction? See, when we become aware, I love this. When we become aware, when our eyes are opened, we can focus our energies not on fighting the old, but on stepping into and building on a new foundation. So let me suggest a couple building blocks to this new foundation. Building your life on the reality of Jesus is our first building block. Building your life on the reality of Jesus. See, Jesus hated phony religion when he was here physically, and he hasn't changed his mind about it. Hypocrisy, saying one thing and doing another, is still on his short list of despicables. He wants real, authentic, deep relationship with his people. And this is why he lived. This is why he died. This is why he resurrected. Authentic relationship starts with not just knowing about God, but actually knowing him. This is foundational if you want to live a life that lasts. Building your life on the stability of Jesus. That's your second building block. Living your life, building your life on the stability of Jesus. Now, every contractor knows how critical a strong foundation is to the stability of a building. See, we dig deep down into the bedrock of Jesus in the same way we dig deep into the bedrock to build a house. This we do in order to weather any storm that comes against us. Let me remind you, Jesus' words are, I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me and listens to my teaching and then follows it. See, there's more than just sitting here this morning. And there's more than just hearing it. It's actually a matter of doing it. That's the hardest part. This is easy. It's easy to sit here and listen. The difficulty becomes in how we actually enact these words of Jesus. It is like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. And when the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. Your third building block is building your life on the eternity of Jesus. See, you were built to live forever. And we like to think that we have a lot of time to begin laying a foundation. We have a lot of time to build a foundation that has eternal value, when in fact our life is but a vapor. It's here and gone quickly. Now, it's true that nothing is wasted when we surrender our lives to Jesus. But guys, time's a wasting, and eternity starts now. You realize that. Eternity isn't just someday far, far away. Eternity can begin today. So rethink, realign your priorities. So if you want to live a life that lasts, build it on the reality, the stability, and the eternity of Christ. Do this, and all of life will be seen with fresh paint and new eyes. San Francisco's iconic Golden Gate Bridge is absolutely essential to the transportation needs of the Bay Area in California. So much so that it is one of the first things in America that gets attention if the terrorism alert is escalated. But did you know that it has been built directly over the San Andreas Fault? So during an earthquake, the bridge is built to sway some 20 feet at the center of its 1 mile span. 20 feet at the center, swaying back and forth. I know I don't want to be on that bridge when that happens. The secret to the bridge's durability lies in more than just its flexibility. Because by design, every part of the bridge, its concrete roadway, its steel railings, its crossbeams, everything is integrated. From one welded joint to the other, up through the vast cable system, to two great towers and two land anchor piers. The towers bear most of the weight and are deeply embedded in rock foundation beneath the sea. The Golden Gate Bridge stands today because of its solid foundation. The engineering of the Golden Gate Bridge is pretty phenomenal. But you guys, it pales in comparison to the engineering that's gone into you and I. Ephesians 2:10, the writer says, for we, you and I, are God's workmanship. We're his masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. See, being created in the image of God is a sure foundational starting point. Physically, every part of our body, every muscle, every nerve, every organ is interconnected and serves to support the structure, just like the Golden Gate Bridge. This has never been more obvious to me than when I try to activate long, dormant muscles. So, let's give something a try. Everybody stand up. I need six volunteers to come up here on stage with me real quick. I won't embarrass you. You'll embarrass yourself. Come on up. I need six. Quickly. Come on. I need six people. Okay, I'm going to call on a few people.
I'm going to come get you if you don't come.
Jake, get up here. Come on. Angie, come on. All right, we got a few brave ones. Guys, this is ridiculous. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The only reason I got a guy up here is because I called on him. All right. Good job, Jake. All right, so we're talking about structure. We're talking about good bones. We're talking about everything being interconnected. So now stand on one foot. Most of us can't even hardly do that. One foot. This is even my good leg. And now close your eyes. Close your eyes. You're all looking. Who made it? Sarah is doing.
I'm doing a dance.
Okay, do you see what's happening here? Everything's interconnected. Let's thank these guys. Everything is, you remain standing, everything is interconnected. Good bones are needed to support it's the structure of not only our physical lives, but of our spiritual lives. C.S. Lewis gives us these words. He says, imagine yourself as a living house. God comes in to rebuild that house. And at first, perhaps you can understand what he's doing. He's getting the drains right and stopping the leaks in the roof and so on. You knew those jobs needed doing anyway, and so you're not surprised. But presently, he starts knocking the house about in a way that hurts abominably and does not seem to make any sense. What on earth is he up to? The explanation is that he is building quite a different house from the one you thought of. He's throwing out a new wing here, putting on an extra floor there. He's running up towers and making courtyards. You thought you were being made into a decent little cottage. But he is building a palace that he intends to come and live in himself. Your foundation, what's it made of? Are you open to the possibility that God wants to move in and make his home in you? Are you prepared to begin from a foundation of love? Because, you know, building a house of faith, built with the correct tools in hand, squared up, on the level, established with love, love is our foundation. John writes in chapter 13, verse 35, he says, that this is how we are going to be known as followers of Jesus. We are going to be known by our love for one another. So we need to press in against the lies and strongholds, things that have been set up against us, things that have come against our prosperity, that keep us down, things that keep us depressed. We are created in the image of God. Our foundation is laid on the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are leaning into and living out of the love the Father has so generously expressed in Jesus. The promised helper, the informer that lives within us, our counselor, the mystery of mysteries, the unexplainable, unfathomable presence of the third member of the Trinity, the one who speaks with clarity when we listen with confidence. He is here. The life force of our followership of Jesus brings transformation, he brings restoration, and he equips us to be the light of the world created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Father, this morning, I believe that this word is for multiple people in this place this morning who have succumbed to the lies of the enemy. This morning, Father, I pray that the foundation would be laid, that cracks would be filled in so that our foundation is solid, that our foundation does not sway with every shift in the wind, but that we remain solid and committed. God, keep doing your work in us. This morning, God, I implore you to turn our hearts towards you. Holy Spirit, you are powerful in this place. And I believe, God, that you are bringing healing, you're bringing restoration, you're transforming lives, even as we stand here this morning. Renew our mind, shift our thinking, and God, help us to have the courage to do our part in all of that. Because it's in the name of Jesus that we pray and that we're grateful. Amen. This morning, if you would like prayer, the prayer team's going to be up front during this next song. If your foundation needs to be strengthened, I would suggest you come. I would suggest you come. It's not because they have a special power. It's because God has a power that wants to flow in through them to you. And where you are weak, we are body, we are family. Where you are weak, someone else is strong. So if you need prayer, this is a good place to get it. Let's sing.